This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
True North stores have Primo Eats and Pepsi brand products that are heavy on taste and light on your wallet. Right now, buy any Primo sandwich and add a 20-ounce Pepsi brand beverage for just $1. Handmade every day, Primo uses quality meats and cheeses. Complete the meal with a Pepsi. Grab any Primo sandwich and pair it with a 20-ounce Pepsi brand beverage for just $1. Get more with the True Rewards mobile app. Available in your app store. True North convenience stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
Hi, this is Debbie, your Blinds.com design consultant.
Oh, wow, a real person.
Yep, I'm here to help you with everything from selecting the perfect window treatments to...
I've got a complicated project.
No problem. We make the complex simple. And I can even help schedule a professional measure and install.
I didn't realize you did that.
Yeah, we can also send you samples, fast and free.
Wow, I mean, I always thought I needed a designer to come to my home, but scheduling's always a nightmare.
Not with Blinds.com. We're on your schedule, and there's no haggling, no pressure, no hidden fees either.
I just might have to do more.
Oh, okay, whatever you need. How about you tell me what you had in mind?
Okay, then. So the first room we're looking at is for guests coming over.
Blinds.com has covered over 25 million windows, all backed by a 100% satisfaction guarantee. Shop Blinds.com now and get up to 40% off with minimum purchase. Rules and restrictions may apply.
And we go out to the hotline and welcome in one of those draft analysts from the Draft Network, Daniel Harms, kind enough to give us some time here on Cody and Gold. I wanted to start, Daniel, because we're starting to sense a little bit more of a theme, but we're trying to figure out how the mock draft world is viewing it versus maybe even how we're looking at it, which is offensive line first round. How realistic is that still, knowing the Chiefs addressed the left tackle spot with Jalen Moore, and we think Kingsley Suamataia could be the left guard?
Yeah, so when you look at Jalen Moore, I think he might be a better fit in the future at right tackle, maybe replacing Juwan Taylor. So I think left tackle still makes a lot of sense for the Chiefs if a player were to fall into the 30s. Maybe they could want to trade up into the 20 area. But I think as an overarching concept, with the 27-year-old tackle who was predominantly a backup for the 49ers coming off of, you know, the four or five starts that he had this past year, that's hoping he's going to improve, hoping he's going to be able to get better. But he still has those 4 years that he hasn't been able to start and play and develop in the league. So I think the future left tackle stuff still raises a concern, considering you don't know if he's going to be around and if he's even going to get better at left tackle. And that's the part where you're really trying to make that consideration. So I actually just got done doing a film review of Josh Simmons for RGRfootball.com, where I cover the Chiefs as well. So like he's still in play there, in my opinion. So I'm excited to see what happens.
So you think if they were to go O-line though, it would be a tackle, not a guard? Because we've seen some guards mocked, and that one just honestly doesn't make as much sense to us.
Not at all. I saw one with Tyler Booker. Not only does Tyler Booker a guard doesn't make sense, he's not a Chiefs guard. Like he's a pure power guard. Like he's not going to come in to be this athletic guy where you want to pull him and move him and things like that, where Andy Reid wants to, and that's not going to be his game. So I think tackle is probably the only offensive line option for the Chiefs in the first round.
If you think tackle's realistic, I love a varied opinion. Matt Miller had come on the show a couple weeks ago. He said of the five tackles who could go in the first round, three might end up being a guard, or like in Mimbo's case, he's going to be a right tackle and he's going to be taken so high it doesn't matter. But, like, how many of the tackles that could be in that range for the Chiefs, 20 to 30, do you actually think will stay at tackle versus they're taking the same risk as they are as more? As in, they might not end up being a tackle, and this all could be for naught, and they might land at guard anyway.
Yeah, I think that there's two. The aforementioned Josh Simmons, I think, is going to play tackle in the league. And then Arianti Arisu out of Minnesota. He has 3 years of starting experience. I know I'm not entirely sure why he's getting projected elsewhere. you might have some soft shoulder concerns with him, but we see that being a little bit more functional, just trying to get back to your spot a little bit better and having the requisite athleticism to make sure you can cover that B gap. And I think that he has all those things. So those are the two players that I've kind of seen not only falling down draft boards, but in the area where you have opinions on Arriante that he's a second rounder. I have a first round grade on him in terms of for this draft, I would take him anywhere in the 25 to 30 range. And Josh Simmons probably would have been a top 10 pick had he not got hurt. And now we're seeing some things come up about character concerns, off-field stuff that just kind of seem to be coming up out of draft season, draft talk like we always hear. So that's something we're obviously not privy to, and the team would have to do their work. But those are the two guys that I have on my board that still make sense for the Chiefs at the tackle, that would probably be in that range.
You cover the Chiefs for RGR, so you know I'm going to ask this question. Are his arms long enough? You know that Andy Reid's really particular about that, man.
I mean, at the same time, Dylan Moore has 33-inch arms too. Like, they just gave him $20 million guaranteed, and he's got 33-inch arms. So Josh Simmons has 33. Arriante, I believe, is about 34, 33 and a half, something like that. So he has the requisite length, and both of these guys, it's about how you use that length, right? And a lot of these players, if you have 33-inch arms and it's becoming a big problem for you, that's where you see the concern. It's, I think, a good player for the Chiefs at tackle if they have a good grade on him. The 33-inch arms aren't going to mean as much as that you see like out of Kingsley, who's got to develop, but he has all the raw tools to be able to do it.
We're talking to Daniel Harms, analyst for the Draft Network here on Cody and Gold. All right, when the Chiefs brought back Kareem Hunt, I was a little nervous because I said, well, does this mean they're not going to draft a running back? What's your take on that, and is there an explosive back that comes to mind for you? Because we all watched this team a year ago. They got to find some more explosiveness at that position.
Absolutely. Really, if you look at this room in 2026, there's going to be nobody. There's nobody there. There's no running back they have on the roster that is currently contracted for the 2026 season. So they have to still draft one, bring in possibly two running backs that are rookies that are younger. It really depends on how they want to, you know, build the room. Do they want one guy that can handle everything, so you have a couple of options, or they want to build a room that has, you know, someone that's more of a pass catcher, third down back, but somebody else like DJ Giddens out of Kansas State, who I believe is going to be a fantastic first and second down running back, who just needs a lot of development as a pass catcher and a pass protector. So you bring in, I mean, maybe somebody like Rashad Smith. So both of these guys, the SMU running back, who has done a fantastic job in the pre-draft process, showcased, like, what, 19 touchdowns this year or this past year at SMU, former wide receiver. He has, I think, a lot of the tools to become a third down back. Well, obviously, he's a fantastic pass catcher, explosive, and he's got really good running back feel. Giddens, on the other hand, one of the guys I just mentioned, is far better in terms of already developing some of the zone power concepts, where he has the vision, the speed, and then he has the ability in space to string moves together, make guys miss. The problem is that he doesn't have very good pass protection skills, and he doesn't catch the football as well as you'd like. But if they want to build the room in a way where you have one guy that can do everything, I think Quinshon Judkins out of Ohio State makes a lot of sense for them. You've got Devin Neal, who can also do all those things out of Kansas. So there's a couple of different ways that this class can really allow them to go about it. And if they're willing to spend a first-round pick or a second-round pick on one of these running backs, you have a total package in a guy like Caleb Johnson out of Iowa, Amarian Hampton out of UNC if he falls down the draft. So there's a lot of different ways they can go about this.
I always feel like I ask people who they like. Who do you hate? Well, you're like, all right, I don't want the Chiefs to take this guy. Like, I know people like him, but please don't do it.
I don't know if there's anybody that I've watched so far that I hate, but there's a couple of names like Jaquindon Jackson out of Arkansas, who's getting a little bit of buzz right now. He's power. He doesn't have the best vision. I like Cam Scadaboo. I do. I love what he does. I'm a little concerned about the athletic ability at the NFL level. I don't know if there's anybody that I've watched that I just like hate, but those are a couple of players that I would be a little underwhelmed if I saw the Chiefs draft them.
What about on the defensive line? We understand everyone continues to tell us it is an incredibly deep defensive line. I want to ask you a follow-up. Do you think it's deeper, like defensive tackle, at edge? Like, where can the Chiefs attack this draft if there are this many defensive linemen available?
They can do it at both, really. The defensive tackle class, I think in terms of the guys that have the well-rounded game, there's a little bit fewer, more first-round picks that you're going to see with some upside. Guys like Kenneth Grant that have been just have the upside. He's a really good run defender. He has the length, the athleticism, but the pass rush skills are still developing. And then you get down into the day two, some of the day three guys, you start to spread out. Like, we see this all the time with the draft, where you have some pass rush specialists, then you have some guys that are really good run defenders. And then on the edge side, I think that there's this is so unique, where we're starting to see more players come up out of nowhere, where they're, Oluwafemi Oladeja was one of my favorite players
at UCLA.
it took me a lot of time,
yeah,
a lot of practice to be able to get there at this point. So he's one of my favorite defensive ends in this class, a former linebacker, and he played defensive end in high school. They asked him at UCLA to play linebacker, so he did that. And then this past year, two games in, they said, no, you're going to play defensive end, and you can see all the raw skills as a pass rusher. But honestly, he's got a much higher floor than I think people expected as a run defender, and what I expected. So you've got him, you've got some bigger body types, probably in the day two range, like Princely Umanmilan out of Ole Miss, his teammate, Jared Ivey. Like, there's so many different body types, skill sets. So this class itself, from both defensive tackle and defensive end, the Chiefs are going to find some players on day one, day two, even day three, that can really help the future of their defensive line.
We're talking to Daniel Harms from the Draft Network. Locally, we know there's a lot of Missouri Tiger fans keeping an eye on Luther Burden. There's a lot of Chiefs fans keeping an eye on Luther Burden. What's the latest with him? I mean, I feel like the stock keeps going down, and then is it an overreaction? Where do you actually believe Luther Burden is going to go, and is the fall warranted, if that's the case?
So I still think he's going to go in the first round. I believe in my last mock I had him going in the first round still. It's for me, when I watch him, it's hard to separate some of the schematic problems with the offense with the effort concerns that I had coming into the season for Luther Burden. Because there were still on tape times where he just doesn't run his route fully. He cuts it off early. He rounds his routes. They're not as sharp as you'd like to see. And then you can compound that with some of the offensive struggles they had this past year, where he's basically this glorified underneath threat with a couple of deep balls there every now and then. And it's hard to parse that through a guy who doesn't play on the outside at all, and then you want him to do everything in the NFL. So I think the fall is a little bit warranted. Again, I was a little under on him coming into the season, and there wasn't a ton of development from the wide receiver side specifically that made me think he should be higher. But what you see right now is what you're going to get, and that's an immediate impact player with the ball in his hands at the NFL level. Like, he has already the spatial awareness, the physical tools after the catch down the field, the body control, ball tracking. So he's still going to be someone that can, in my opinion, goes in the first round based on pure talent alone. There's just a lot more refining to do with his wide receiver skill set that someone's going to have to either project or get in there and say, well, what's going on? What was going on with you at Missouri? Where is some of these effort concerns coming in on tape? So that's what was hard to parse out for me specifically, is trying to identify those different things. But the skills are all there, and that's why he's still going to go in the first round.
Big picture draft stuff. Just curiosity, what your thoughts are on Russell Wilson ending up a Giant. Do you think that they're out on No Shadur? No, Cam Ward's going to go one. So, like, are they out on that game?
It kind of feels like they might think that Shadur goes two to the Browns if you bring in two, you know, one-year deal contracts for quarterbacks and Jameis Winston and Russell Wilson. But I don't think it's going to prevent them from drafting Shadur if he's there at three. And I don't think it should. Like, there's no reason it should. If you love him as a team, and again, he's, for both of these guys, Cam Ward and Shadur Sanders, they're like 1A and 1B for me. I don't care if you had one over the other. I have Shadur as the 1A just based off of his accuracy. And I think while he gets himself into trouble at times, he does have the skills to still manage the pocket. Maybe the arm strength isn't everything you want to see. But I think he's working on his release to get better at that. So if the Giants feel like he's still the quarterback that they want to draft and he's there at three, it wouldn't shock me at all if they still draft him. It does feel like they might think the Browns are in a situation where they actually could end up drafting Shadur, and they don't want to be without somebody that maybe can start for them.
That's just like a wild quarterback room. Jameis Winston, Russell Wilson, and Shadur Sanders. I guess just go ahead and make them Hard Knocks now.
Please, right? Give us I want a camera on those three at all times. That would be gold.
Oh, it would be absolutely incredible. What's the chances, though, of them deciding not to take a quarterback, the Giants, and all of a sudden then they go and they trade back in the first round or they wait till the second round and somebody like Jackson Dart is actually who they go with?
I don't know if trading back makes sense for them. They probably just draft Travis Hunter and then pair him. Again, at this high, I'm taking Travis Hunter and I'm playing him a wide receiver.
Trade back into the first round. Sorry, yeah, no, not trade back in the first. Yeah, that wouldn't make any sense.
I got you. So this Jackson Dart stuff, man. And I don't hate any prospect. I want them all to prove me wrong. I'm just not a Jackson Dart fan.
Fair.
I think that if you want to draft him, you should be there in the second round. But also, if he's gone in the first round, just draft like a Will Howard on day three or a Riley Leonard. I don't think there's a ton of physical tool difference between those three quarterbacks to say, well, we want to trade up to get Jackson Dart. And when you look at what Ole Miss does from a schematic perspective, they don't ask a lot of Jackson Dart. Now, I will say I was surprised with his physicality as a runner and his vision as a runner on tape. But when we watch him actually throw the football and go through reads, there's far too often where he's just waiting. He's waiting. And you can't wait in the NFL. The game speeds up. You can't get to your second read 5 seconds later or when the play finally breaks down and you move out of the pocket. You have to be able to go not just half read, full field read at times, but also get the ball out quickly, which we know Ole Miss does. They scheme all that stuff up as well. So I think that if the Giants traded up back into the first round for a Jackson Dart, that would be a little bit of a mistake on their part. But overall, these teams are going to do whatever they want to do. And I think that what we're seeing with, you know, Tyler Shough and even, you know, Jackson Dart to an extent with getting these talks pre-draft are reminding me a lot of the draft with Malik Willis, who, again, he was going to the Lions, like, in the top 10 or what it was. The teams, I think, learn from that experience, and they're going to be like, okay, we'll probably evaluate these guys a little bit different, but if Dart goes in the first round, I mean, maybe I'm wrong.
Daniel Harms, analyst for the Draft Network. Great insight on the Chiefs and the draft as a whole. We're counting down to draft day there in Green Bay. Appreciate it.
All right. Thank you. Appreciate you having me.
College holds a mythic place in American culture. On the new Campus Files podcast, we uncover the scandals you won't hear on the campus tours. Find Campus Files on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.